Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of the 10-Minute Tickets Talk for 2021. I got a fantastic guest this week. It's Jenna Burns, who's the Senior Vice President for the Oklahoma City Dodgers, the Dodgers AAA team, World Series champions. Hopefully you got to go to a game last year, at least celebrate it with them. I'm thrilled that we're finally in a place where we're going to stop talking about how bad 2020 was, and we're going to start talking about plans and strategies for 2021. So Jenna, thanks for coming on board. We appreciate you being our first guest this year.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for inviting me. You know, it's funny with what you just said, one of our like taglines in our office is that we eliminate the phrase because that's the way we've always done it. And that's like kind of our no-no phrase. And I think you bring up a good point that I think going into next year, we should eliminate all the woe is me of 2020 talk. And that's our new dollar. Got to put a dollar in that jar every time it comes up.
And it's a perfect opportunity to be creative and think of new things. So with that, talk to us a little bit about preparations for 2021. And in reality, preparations for 2022, because 21's not going to be great, but how do you make sure your franchise is in a good spot on the revenue side, especially ticket sales this year, and then going forward plans for 22?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that we talk a lot about is like setting a precedent, right? Like you never want to go and roll out some fun, new and great thing and think that in the next season, you might pull it out from under fans after they've gotten used to it. And so, you know, you don't put things out there unless you think that they have some longevity to them. And this year we're really focusing on 2021 is just going to be what it's going to be, and not getting too in our own heads about, well, you know, we can't seat this season ticket holder in this place for 21, because what does that mean for 22? Understanding that our fans didn't have a 2020 season. And so, you know, in a lot of cases, I think people are going to be really excited to come out to the ballpark this year. You know, one of the things that we really focused on throughout the 2020 season, if you will, is that we did our best to retain as much of our sales team as we could. And the reason being is we knew that at some point we were going to get to this place, and we were going to be able to start talking about baseball again in a way that was really hopeful and you know, anticipation of a schedule coming out. And so we've been working and bringing people back on as their furlough ends and continuing their training and development along that and really working towards that 2021 season.
So talk a little bit about what's going to be different with your sales strategy. Businesses are less inclined to be buying tickets to entertain clients. Still at this point, groups are still going, I'm not sure we're getting together. How are you going to maximize whatever inventory you're going to be able to sell? What's going to be different on your sales strategy this year?
Great question. So we have a couple answers to that. From the business standpoint, we've really gone back and restructured what our sales team looks like, in the sense of, you know, we had a very segmented sales team. So we had our inside sales team that did small personal family, you know, season ticket packages, our group sales team that sold groups of 10 or more schools, churches, youth leagues. And then we had our outside sales or our corporate sales team that really focused on business development. And so understanding what you just shared, like, we don't know what that business climate is going to look like this year. And from an entertainment standpoint, so what we are now going is kind of, we're going back in time, I think, and essentially doing just kind of your standard, you know, account executive, and everyone is going to really work on full menu-ish. We're still going to have people that are going to focus in a couple different areas, but we really want to make sure that all the departments are cross-trained to get people into the best package and the best opportunity that fits their needs.
And I think for our listeners, one of the things that's critical to that is managing activity for salespeople and also setting monthly goals. So if you have a salesperson who's doing a little bit of everything, they're going to gravitate toward what's easiest, but you got to make sure you maintain and set monthly targets and monthly goals of revenue from group sales, revenue from businesses, revenue from Joe Fan. How are you guys doing that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for us, I don't know, I would think for most sales team members, commission is king, right? So we pay commission on every dollar in. And so we want to make sure that people are still looking towards the right ticket package for someone that's going to fit their needs. And we work with them quite a bit on making sure that they don't take the dive and get into the smallest package that there is if something bigger can meet their needs.
So one of the things you mentioned before we started, jumped on this, was looking for new revenue sources, new revenue streams for the team. What does that look like? And what are some great ideas that you can share with everybody listening?
That's a great question. So we, you know, for us, if you look at our revenue pie, ticket sales is always the biggest piece of that. And so going into this year, and I would bet a lot of teams are in the same boat, that we worked really hard to roll over season ticket holders from 2020 to 2021. And so we got to keep their deposits in there and them set, but we aren't going to get new money this year. And so with reduced capacities and what that's going to look like, that's really forced us to look at, number one, maximizing the seating capacity that we will have and finding maybe not the easiest way to seat people, but the way to maximize those seats in the best way possible. But really looking at and challenging other parts of our business and looking at, you know, reinventing, you know, some different opportunities from a partnership standpoint, maybe things that, again, going back to not focusing on precedent, that we would have done in the past, but looking at things that in kind of a new light and stuff that we wouldn't have done before and areas that we wouldn't have spent a lot of time, are going to start becoming the places that we are dedicating a lot of time.
And you're right. Capacity limitations on ticket sales put even more emphasis on maximizing concessions per caps, maximizing merchandise per caps,
right,
for a team to really make sure anybody they can get into their building, they get as much money out of them as possible. I mean, that's a hugely critically important facet. Speaking of one of the areas that's going to be a challenge, and we saw this last year in Macon, where we were playing to sold out capacity, which was 1,000 people instead of 3,000. That atmosphere is not nearly as good, not nearly as enjoyable for the fans. And to an extent, we're paying for it a little bit on renewals this year because that's what people remember. What changes are you guys making related to fan experience, entertainment, game experience to make sure even with a limited capacity, it's still a great time for people to come to the game?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to do, I would probably put this into two separate categories, if you will. So we're going to do what we can to help start the creating that fan excitement, that fan experience before they show up to the ballpark. We're going to take, we're looking at right now, taking our play ball game program, which is the program that we hand out to every man, woman, and child that walks in the gates. And taking that, to a digital format, taking that online and looking at ways to build out some of that content. So people can start getting excited about coming out to a Dodgers game before they would walk through the gates traditionally and get that handed into their, put in their hands. So we're going to really focus on some of that pre-excitement, if you will. And then once people are out, continuing that experience with some of our more robust digital elements, video board, music, and working on ways to continue to draw the fan in an exciting way, even though from an attendance standpoint, it's going to maybe look like a Tuesday or Wednesday night for us.
Yeah, I think that's critical, especially for, quite frankly, not only baseball, but any sports team, is like recognizing that baseball by nature is pretty slow and generally kind of boring. If you have 9,000 people and a place is sold out, the vibe comes from the crowd. If there's 4,000 people, the slowness and the boredom kind of builds on itself. So if a team doesn't have a director of entertainment or director of fan experience now, they need to have one, because that fan experience is going to be hugely critical coming forward in your next season.
Absolutely. And we have, you bring up a good point. We have someone who manages our in-game experience. We have a pretty robust marketing team, which I think is one of those places that your ownership can always tell you that marketing doesn't make, you can't necessarily directly associate dollars to their role. But they are wildly important to what we are about to all embark on, which is a very digital journey. You know, we've all been living in a much more digital space than we are used to. And that's going to have to continue to create some of this kind of artificial ambiance, if you will.
You bring up a scary topic, marketing department, and are they actually making a difference? So any ownership group, and I sit in that same seat because I own two teams, we're looking at cost savings. Absolutely. What have you guys implemented from a cost savings standpoint outside of any staff changes that you may have to make, but other operational things that might be useful to share with other teams as to where you're able to cut some corners, but still not hurt the fan experience and the revenue positives?
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's interesting that in some of the elements, you know, or some of the ways that you go digital, you know, when I hear digital, at least, you know, I think it's going to be more expensive, right? Because that's what we're all kind of like in that space to think. But if we're able to implement our game program in a digital way and host it differently, that would be that's a six-figure savings for us. And so, because we print that every game. And so, you know, so there's some of those areas we've looked at and are going to be going digital for tickets this year. So we're no longer going to be printing the really cool, colorful season ticket holder books. We're going to go digital with it. And you know, it's something that we've wanted to do for a couple years, and the industry is really going in that direction. But we weren't really confident that in our market that it would be something that would be well received. And so this has given us an opportunity to do that and to what is it that Disney always says? I think it's the innovate under the guise of safety. And so that's, you know, that's something that we're working towards.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. One more question. Jenna is probably one of the most senior level executives in all minor league baseball, incredibly well regarded. If you were giving advice to a young woman trying to get into the sports industry, and also to a woman who is in the industry trying to move into a management role, what would you tell them?
You know, I think that one of the things that I always focused a lot on is that I am a super competitive person. And Steve, you've known me for a long time and you know this. I'm more competitive internally than externally. And so, you know, never necessarily comparing myself to the person next to me, but I have to be better than who I was the day before. That's something that I always strive to do and to be. You know, I think that people who are entering our industry, like, especially I grew up in a sales role, and we are all stacked against each other on this leaderboard, right? And you want to be the best. And I always want to make sure that I'm the best for the right reason. And it's not because, you know, it's not because I'm trying to go and beat out my coworker here. I mean, it is a little bit, but it's because I want to be the best for me. And so keeping in mind to control the things that you can control are the best ways to move up and to look forward. So not getting super wound up in some like inner office type stuff and really focusing on the things that you can control, which is your daily output. It's the effort that you can put out. It's your attitude. It's the way that you respond in times of adversity. And it's a kind of teammate that you are for people.
And quite frankly, that's great advice, not just in the working world, but in everyday life. Control what you can control. Everything else, if you can't control it, there's no upside benefit to worrying about it. So if you stay focused on what you can control, good things are going to happen. So awesome. Jenna, thank you very much. Appreciate you being our first guest of 2021. Best of luck to the Dodgers for the 21 season. Let's hope you get a schedule sometime soon so you can get your staff back to selling tickets and this can all go back to normal. So good luck, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.